I now can sing since I've been redeemed.
I'm on the everlasting, everlasting rock.
I faith in Christ, my Redeemer King.
I'm on the everlasting, everlasting rock.
This is the voice of hope.
Then roll, roll, billows roll. I'm on the everlasting rock of ages. Roll, roll, billows roll. I'm on the everlasting rock.
Many years ago, the New York Times was asked to help a group of women decide on the 12 greatest women in the United States. After consultation, the editors came back with this answer. They said, the 12 greatest women in the United States are women who have never been heard of outside of their own homes. Think about it. Who was greater? Thomas Edison or his mother? Because when he was just a little guy, he was referred to as, quote, the boy with the scrambled brain. In fact, his teacher sent him home from school with a note, and the note said, your child is dumb. We can't do anything for him. So Mrs. Edison sent a note back. She said, you don't understand my boy. I will teach him myself. And you and I know the results. Now, you may not be famous like Thomas Edison, but I'll venture to say that your mother had a major impact on your life, too. And if you had a godly mother, her prayers most likely affected who you are today. I certainly believe my mother's prayers helped to keep me faithful to the Lord.
Through my disappointment, strife and discontentment, I cast my every care on the Lord. No matter what obsession, pain or deep depression, I'm standing on the solid rock.
I'm standing on the rock,
on the rock of ages,
safe from every storm,
from all the storms that rages,
but not from Satan's wages.
I'm standing on the solid rock.
Even though he's gone now, I don't feel alone now.
With comfort came the Spirit of the Lord.
Now with his word to guide me, from temptation hide me.
I'm standing on the solid rock.
I'm standing on the rock,
on the rock of ages,
safe from every storm,
from all the storm,
that rages,
rich and loud,
but not from Satan's wages.
I'm standing on the solid rock.
Now I'm pressing onward, each step leads me homeward.
I'm trusting in my Savior day by day.
And close is our relation,
firm is its foundation,
so on this solid rock I'll stay.
I'm standing
on the rock of ages,
safe from every storm,
from all the storms
that rages, but not from Satan's wages. I'm standing on the solid rock.
I'm standing on the rock of ages,
safe from every storm,
from all the storm,
that rages, rich in love I'm rich,
but not from Satan's wages.
I'm standing on the solid rock.
I'm standing on the solid rock. Solid rock.
Thank you, men. And thank you, friend, for listening to the Voice of Hope. If this is your first time with us, you need to know that this weekly program is centered around the teaching of God's Word, the Bible. We accept the Word of God as authoritative. That means it has the power to speak into our lives and to show us how to live out our faith as followers of Jesus Christ. I'm J. Mark Horst, the Bible teacher on the Voice of Hope, and I'm happy you've joined me today. For the past number of weeks, we've been learning the biblical principles relating to marriage and home and family. We spent a number of programs with specific teaching for men and their roles and responsibilities in the family. But in the past few weeks, we've turned our attention to women and to the roles and responsibilities God has given to them. On today's program, we'll begin looking at what God's Word says to women who are mothers. Contrary to much of popular opinion, the Bible affirms motherhood as a high and noble calling. In fact, it's one to which I believe all women should aspire. But before we begin our study, let's look to the Lord for His blessing. Gracious God, Father of us all, we bless You, we honor You. In Your perfect creation, before sin entered the world, You designed and formed Adam's wife, Eve, the very first mother. And now, Father, even though our lives have been affected by the sin of our first parents, help us to see the beauty and dignity You have designed in motherhood. Encourage our hearts through Your Word, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Years ago, I worked with a man who had been a pattern maker in a foundry. His job back then was to construct a model that was made of wood, and it was in the shape of the finished casting. That pattern was then placed in a box, and sand was packed tightly around it. Then they carefully removed the pattern and left its form in the sand. The molten metal was poured into the mold, and it took the form of the pattern. The use of wooden patterns in the foundry died out as newer forms of mold making came along. The demand for pattern makers is long gone. As long-established practices change, there are always those who are caught on the downside. We know that changes in manufacturing and services are occurring more rapidly today than ever before. The vast majority of the changes are good, but they're painful to those who have their jobs eliminated. But these rapid changes have led our culture, and sadly too many in the church, to view long-established biblical patterns as being out of date in our society. They've been carelessly discarded as new patterns that reject biblical truth have taken their place. We've had several decades now to observe the impact of rejecting biblical patterns, and you know something? The results aren't very good. The principles God gave us in His Word are universal and timeless. And I admit the applications of those principles may change, but the principles themselves are relevant in every generation. The joy and beauty of motherhood is one of those biblical principles that is rejected by many today in our postmodern culture. And yet, God's design persists. And so I want us, and especially those of us who are professing Christians, to re-examine the biblical commands that guide our understanding and our practice of this most important of roles. We believe and teach that God's Word gives us the pattern for women as mothers. And so as we consider this subject, I invite you to listen carefully as I read Titus chapter 2 and verses 1 through 5. But as for you, speak the things which are proper for sound doctrine. That the older men be sober, reverent, temperate, sound in faith, in love, in patience. The older women likewise, that they be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. That they admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the Word of God may not be blasphemed. Notice that our text begins with Paul's instruction to Titus to provide wholesome, truthful teaching. If there was ever a need for an honest and balanced teaching of the Scriptures, it's certainly today. This chapter, if you would read the whole thing, includes instruction for several specific groups of people that are part of the church. We will focus specifically on those parts that speak to motherhood, and by God's grace, we'll attempt to provide wholesome, truthful teaching that will help you understand and follow the pattern of women as mothers. And so in this text, we'll look at three parts that make up the biblical pattern for women as mothers. The first part of the pattern is providentially assigned. God assigned the older women to be teachers and mentors to the younger women. That's what our text says, and especially to younger mothers. So I speak first of all to those mothers who've raised their families, or those who are significantly farther along in the process. You know, I see something happening in many local churches that bothers me. Interaction between the various age groups is becoming more limited, and that's often done by design. Many congregations have age-segregated Sunday school classes, so they put the older women, who are mothers, in one class, and maybe the younger mothers in another one. Now, I realize that's only one forum where this mentoring can take place, but it's an important one. Many churches have programs for teens, for young mothers, for singles, for retirees, but often there's not very much interaction between the various age groups. And if there's little or no interaction, then how can this biblical command for mentoring take place? In regard to this part of the pattern, Philip Towner wrote these words: "We have bought into the notion that older people have had their day of usefulness, and they ought to make way for the young. But the principle here in our text is quite the opposite. With age and experience, generally, come wisdom. And so many older women have discovered secrets of godly living in relation to their husbands and their children and their neighbors that could save younger women, younger mothers, a lot of unnecessary grief. And when the inevitable trials come to the young mother, who is better to guide her through than an older sister who has already been there and done that? Somehow, the church must see that younger women must interact with older women." Now, our text reminds us it's important for the older women to conduct themselves in a way that promotes holy living. They're not to be false accusers or slanderers or gossips. And interestingly, the word used here is diablos. It means to use false accusation to divide people without a cause. And when diablos is preceded by the Greek article, it's a reference to Satan himself. In speaking with someone about some needs in his local congregation, he made a comment to me that it was the older women in his church who seemed to stir up division and strife. That kind of behavior often takes place when people have too much time on their hands. If older mothers have too much time and they don't know what to do, there are many young mothers who would love to have the practical help that older women could provide. The older women are also warned against being slaves to wine. What's the application for us today? Well, as I understand it, drunkenness is often a result of idleness. And so today, things like watching soap operas, reading cheap romance novels, and the tabloids, all of those are evidences of a lack of meaningful activity. Because if you're busy with responsibilities, you don't have time to engage in destructive behavior, whatever form that behavior takes. Or drunkenness is sometimes used to try filling a void in your life that you don't know how to deal with. So any kind of destructive behavior like this will prevent you from being, as the last part of verse 3 says, teachers of good things. Older mothers are to be lovers of virtue. They're to teach the younger mothers valuable skills. You know, unfortunately, in our day, there are many young mothers who didn't learn in their youth how to do things that are necessary to raise a family or manage a household. And so older mothers can be an especially valuable resource in these situations, but only if they're available. All the experience in the world is of little value if you can't access it when you need it. I know many times my wife has received phone calls from other mothers about how to prepare something in the kitchen, or to discuss whether a sick child's symptoms really warranted a visit to the doctor or not. Verse 4 says the older women are to teach the younger women to be sober, to love their husbands, and to love their children. Now, I want us to understand that the meaning here isn't so much about the imparting of information, but it's rather the discipline and the training that leads to holy living and then to godly decision-making. The verb tense indicates that this is an ongoing activity rather than a one-time event. In other words, the older women are to continue to teach the younger women these things. This is so important today, especially when so many families have fractured and splintered. I firmly believe that the responsibility for family breakups in most cases rests primarily with the husband. That's a subject for another time. But wives need to be taught how to be husband lovers. As I said in an earlier message, God designed us as men and women very differently in the way we think and the way we respond to life situations. So for a woman to truly love her husband takes work. In addition to the Bible, another resource that Joyce, my wife, and I would recommend to you in developing your marriage relationship is a book that's been around for quite a while, but it's a good one, Love and Respect by Dr. Emerson Eggerichs. Older women, by virtue of their years of experience, can help younger mothers to better understand and appreciate the strengths of their husbands, and they can also teach them how to compensate for his weaknesses and do it in a way that's not offensive. Married couples are a team, and they need to develop the ability to work together. A loving wife is a huge asset to any husband. And from my perspective as a husband, I can assure you wives that your love and respect for your husband is a tremendous force for good in his battle to maintain fidelity and moral purity. Now, in verse 4, we may wonder why Paul states something as obvious as, "Teach them to be children lovers." What does that mean? Isn't it normal for mothers to love their children? Well, yes, it is, to a degree. But like me, you've probably met mothers who really don't love children. Some of you are probably wondering what I mean by that. Well, some mothers see children as a necessary but temporary interruption of their careers and their life goals. They can't wait to get their children raised so that they can go back to school or back to a job that pays well. That really isn't loving children. That's enduring them. And you know something? The children will pick up on that attitude, and it usually produces undesirable consequences in your home and family. Do you want to be able to pick out a mother who truly loves children? Watch her own children, especially her daughters. When another mother comes to church or to your home or some other social function, and she has a brand new baby, there's a line of women and girls that forms as each of them wait their turn to hold that newborn. It's a great joy to see that mothering instinct awakened and cultivated in little girls. And then as our girls grow older, they receive more and more opportunities to care for and teach other people's children. They are known as lovers of children, and my wife has been a wonderful example of this. Now it's true, God has given mothers an innate desire for nurturing their children, but it still needs to be developed. And you know, the scripture warns us that as we approach the end of human history, there will be a corresponding lack of affection of mothers for their children. And we see that all around us today. Every human being is born with self as their number one priority. As followers of Christ, that selfishness must be unlearned. And I marvel at how unselfishly my wife gives and gives and gives. She does it to meet the needs of our children and now our grandchildren too. So if you're an older mother or grandmother who has taken seriously this assignment from God to teach younger mothers, then I say God bless you. You understand that you are providentially assigned to this ministry of encouraging and discipling younger mothers. Love them by sharing your wisdom, sharing your time, sharing your expertise in whatever way they need. God will bless you for your investment in their lives, and you know something? Their husbands will bless you too. Now let's move on to the second part of the biblical pattern for women as mothers. It is morally refined. Verse 5 states that the older mothers should teach the younger mothers how to be morally refined. Paul uses the words discreet and chaste. So let's look at those words more closely. Discreet is another form of being sober. It means to be self-disciplined in your freedom, to be self-restrained in your passions and desires. It also carries the idea of being careful of appearances. I think that's really important in the climate in which we live of such moral looseness. Clear boundaries need to be established for appropriate behavior between married women relating to men other than their husbands and vice versa. So many relationships have been destroyed by a lack of care in this area. Mothers who leave the home for the workplace and mothers who have little support from their husbands are especially vulnerable. And here, older mothers can offer counsel and encouragement and warning and also guidance in those relationships. Being discreet also includes making wise decisions. Older women who have more experience in life can provide counsel to help younger mothers to make wise decisions, and they can also recommend sources of reliable information. Many decisions that mothers make have long-term consequences not only in their own lives, but in the lives of their children. And so wise older women will encourage young mothers to look to their husbands for help in making decisions. A husband's input provides spiritual leadership and protection. And then another word that Paul uses is chaste. It means pure, modest, or innocent, not provocative. And I appeal to you mothers to pay special attention to this. You are setting a pattern for your sons and daughters. If you use your physical beauty or your sexual attractiveness to gain attention or approval, they will follow your example. They will focus on physical or outward beauty instead of developing the inward beauty of godly character. Mothers need to help their children, and especially their daughters, to understand that their sexuality is a gift that is to be treasured. It's not an enticement to flaunt in front of others. Wise older women will also help younger wives understand the need for their husband's help with this. Ladies, you don't think like a man or see life through a man's eyes. So before you or your daughters wear a new item of clothing out in public, why don't you model it for him? And then he can tell you how other men will see you and what conclusions they might make about your character. You may be surprised and embarrassed at what you're communicating by your clothing choices. Now, I know that in our culture, modesty and purity are considered to be old-fashioned or out of date. But God's word is clear. It's a command for all godly women. And so, mothers, if you're going to be morally refined, then you will need to be careful about what you feed on, what you put into your mind and heart. I urge you to choose carefully your books and your music, your DVDs, your magazines, your internet activity. They will all have an impact on your morality and your relationship to your husband and your children. As you older mothers build relationships with younger mothers, then you can lovingly point out to them areas of behavior that need attention. You know, I'm deeply saddened when I see mothers who are immodest, especially if they have teenage sons, because they put additional unnecessary pressure and temptation on their sons. The home should be a haven, a place where sons and daughters don't need to face the same temptations that they have to face in the outside world. And you know, the local church should be a safe place too. God's pattern is that mothers, both older and younger, must be morally refined. And that's where we'll need to break off our study for today. But Lord willing, we'll be back next time to finish this teaching on women as mothers. I hope and pray you were encouraged by this study on women as mothers. To review this teaching or to share it with someone else, just go to our website, heraldsofhope.org. This teaching is there for you to listen to at your convenience. And if you don't have access to the program that way, you can always ask for a printed transcript or an audio CD. We would gladly send one of those to you. Just send an email to hope@heraldsofhope.org. Or you may call us toll-free at 866-960-0292. Or you can write to The Voice of Hope, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Once again, we invite you to help support this ministry financially by donating securely online at heraldsofhope.org or by calling our toll-free number, 866-960-0292. You can also mail your gift to The Voice of Hope, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. We depend on God's grace, accompanied by your fervent prayers and your generous financial support, to enable The Voice of Hope to be on the air until Jesus comes in the air. And don't forget, you can request an audio or printed copy of this teaching, Women as Mothers, either in print or on an audio CD. Just send an email to hope@heraldsofhope.org or call our office toll-free at 866-960-0292 or mail your request to The Voice of Hope, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Now I invite you to join me next week for The Voice of Hope. Lord willing, we'll continue our study that we began today, Women as Mothers. So make plans to tune in. And until we meet again...